Morning to you all. My name is Natalia Agudelo, and my name and Grupo Argos, I want to thank you for being with us today in this call. We will be speaking about results, but in this case, we want to generate this space of conversation and share firsthand information about the measures that Grupo Argos has taken to face the situation. With me, we have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedraita, Vice President of Finances and Corporate Strategies, Rafael Oliveira, Vice President of Talents and Corporate Matters, Maria Clara Aristizaba, Real Estate Business, Mauricio Oza, President of Audiencia, and Pablo Royal, Vice President of Corporate Finances in Audiencia. This teleconference has been translated into English simultaneously, and I want to remember that all our reports, relevant information, and presentation are published in Spanish and English in our webpage, www.grupoargos.com. In our website, you can also find all the information in the section of financial information. In the section of reports, so you'll find the presentation that we'll be following during this video conference that we're carrying out. I want to invite you all to check the presentation on slide number 3, and let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez. Natalia, good morning to every single one of you. Warm welcoming to this result teleconference that we want to share with you. Going to share the results of the first quarter of 2020. In a moment that's clearly important for the companies, for people, for humanity, it's a moment where values or principles, our future strategy that the company has developed has a special meaning and a very key and important relevance. It's in this moment where the strategic strengths come out, our long-term vision comes out, where resilience is important, the resilience of organizations is important. I want to invite you all to approach this call in a way that will allow you not just to see the results of what has happened, but also to have a broader view of how the organization is leading talent, how the organization is leading the actions to guarantee the continuity of our businesses. How are we handling the different operational matters in order to optimize and mitigate the effects of this huge tsunami that humanity is going through right now? I want to invite you all to start by reviewing from a humanistic point of view, from a structural point of view, how are we handling this current situation in different aspects? And from there, we'll derive our talk into the business, into the numbers, and within the limitations that we all have today in terms of the visibility of what will happen in this situation, and being able to give you the most transparent information, the broadest information we could give you in order for you to have an idea of what's happening within our organization. So with this, I wanted to begin by sharing with you how have we been managing the situation. And I would start by saying that some weeks before the virus struck Colombia, and anticipating and evidencing the early impact that was being reflected in all the regions of the world, we started taking decisions in an anticipated manner, establishing mechanisms, coordination mechanisms that would allow us, not just as a holding, but also with our different subsidiaries, to move in an agile and flexible manner, in an assertive manner, in order not just to do this, but take the necessary measures according to the situation. That's why we designed an architecture based on a solid and simple governance model, focused on being able to manage this situation as fast as we could. So we created a group of, or a committee of presidents from the different companies of Grupo Argos, such as financial, human talent units, and we divided this into four subgroups we divided them in four groups of different tasks based on the chapters that we defined, which are health and life, financial and risks, business continuity, in solidarity, philanthropy, and corporate citizenship. With this committees, we are proving that our management, our risk management system counts not just with the capacity of visualizing the impacts, but also taking the necessary measures in order to manage those adversities with commitment, with agility, being contundent in order to mitigate the effects on the businesses. The committees that I just described function under five priorities that we defined and that lead the action framework of each one of the actions that were taken, and I would summarize in the following way. First one is caring health of our collaborators and their families. This is our maximum priority in order to safeguard the life and the health of those 14,000 direct collaborators that we have and 42,000 collaborators that we have, indirect collaborators or induced collaborators that we have in 17 countries around the world. Our second priority was preserve, to possible, that employment that we have generated directly, indirectly, or induced, also caring for the well-being of our collaborators. Simultaneously, the third chapter, we defined propositive management to identify all the actions that are in our reach in order to ensure the continuity of our businesses. And fourth and fifth place, we define a sense of solidarity and support society to those initiatives that tend to benefit vulnerable populations. Simultaneously, we have decided to have an active support for institutions in order to make them participate in those scenarios where the business development is required in order to support social benefits, economic strengthening of the country, and a proper financial management, both municipal, departmental, and national levels. The upcoming minutes, I want to focus on explaining how have we been advancing in each one of these priorities. Let me begin by health and life. In the health and life front, we acted fastly in an anticipated manner in terms of the isolation measurements that were decreed by the government, offering all the necessary resources in order for our collaborators could continue operating with ease from their home, using for this a robust technological infrastructure that we have built through many years. This was replicated in the measure of possible in each one of the operations, privileging the continuity of essential services that were authorized by law. To those collaborators to whom their role required a non-stop operation, we gave them all the personal protection elements and with a rigorous personal protocol that has allowed us to keep safe and to contribute positively to prevention. This population that exceeds 5,700 collaborators includes technical personnel from Celsia, the cement operators in the geographies where the operation was maintained, and those operators that were exclusively necessary to operate concessions. Up to date, we have more than 4,400 collaborators working remotely, which I count 100% of the population, the administrative population of the holding. We're deploying all our efforts in order for articulated with the government and with the health entity, we could lead testing campaigns and follow-up campaigns for our populations in order to take decisions with the most amount of information possible in the scenario that we live today. Under this line, we implemented a survey about the current state of health of our collaborators and families, if this is done on a weekly basis. In this, we identified risk potentials and vulnerabilities of our collaborators, which allows us to take necessary prevention measures or medical support measures or even isolation measures, which is useful to develop the continuity strategy and reincorporation strategy for our businesses, but more specifically to care for all our collaborators. During the last weeks, we've worked on the return strategy for our different business units in Grupo Argos. For those businesses that can operate already, we are doing this back to work in a scaled manner and following the conditions, the personal health conditions and the family health conditions of each one of our collaborators, and following obviously a detailed protocol that we have defined for this aspect, focused and supported with medical specialists and attending the regulations of our health authorities in each one of the countries that we operate. We have defined that we will only get back those that are strictly necessary, and we have established all the necessary control in order to ensure safe labor. In that line, we have been benefiting telework and work from home as the key way to attend those tasks that allow to do so. I want to reiterate that our main priority is and will keep on being the health and care of all of our collaborators in all our geographies. Because of this, we will keep on focusing all our efforts in order to implement the necessary measures in order to achieve this. In terms of labor care and keeping our jobs, we have complied with our commitment of caring for around 14,000 collaborators, and we'll keep doing so in the measure of possible, with the end contributing efforts in order to avoid that supply shock will move on to the demand shock, but also being coherent in terms of the priority that we offer in terms of human talent. For many years now in this organization, we are aware that the main efforts of this front will be essential to mitigate the huge impact that this situation represents for the economy, and in order to avoid the deepening of the crisis that millions of families are going through. This measure has been extensive, with the largest determination to our suppliers, understanding that we need to carry out a stronger and larger effort in order to maintain our value chains that orbit around the infrastructure of the industry, in such way mitigate the effects that this is having all around the economy. Now let's speak about the continuity plan for our businesses, starting by Grupo Argos. The nature of the holding allows us today to operate up to 100% remotely. The effort of our 84 collaborators is orientated to perform a strategic follow-up to each one of the businesses with the end of supporting decision-making in a righteous, informed, and coordinated manner. It's also worth to remember that the main revenues of Grupo Argos come from the dividends received from the portfolio investments, which have been decreed by the correspondent shareholder assemblies in March this year and have not been altered or modified, nor in the amount nor in the terms. In addition, we count with the urban development business revenues through the sale of real estate. In terms of our financial health, thanks to the emission of 450,000 million Colombian pesos, which were carried out in 2019, in order to improve the debt profile, we can have the ease today that the company doesn't count with due dates up to 2022, which offers a stability in the financial cost at the same time of offering flexibility. In addition, we have taken the decision of following the initiatives offered by the banking system for the interest payment for the upcoming months up to 2020, which translates into a larger financial flexibility, which means 15,000 million Colombian pesos in terms of petty cash. In addition, since the first week of March, product of the signals that we have gotten from our risk management system, we started leading activities with different banks and entities in order to ensure our liquidity and financial flexibility for our companies, with disbursements done by the local bank for more than 1 trillion Colombian pesos for all the companies within the group, from which 75,000 of these are for Grupo Argos. So this is part of a strategy that has been coordinated in terms of risk and continuity and business continuity that we started weeks before this COVID-19 situation in all the markets that we participate. Retrospectively, we consider that this has been the right decision according to the strategic role that we have as a holding, playing as an articulator and a decision maker within the business group, which allowed us to assure resources for more than 1 trillion Colombian pesos between 100 and 200 basic points under what would be the current reference rates in the market. In a moment, this was done in a moment when the risk was not as materialized. This measure allows us to operate with larger ease under the stress conditions that the economy currently faces. In order to add more resources during this period, Grupo Argos implemented an initial plan of cost and expense reduction for more than 20 billion Colombian pesos, which equal 14% of our yearly budget, and that is constantly reviewed, attending the evolution of the situation. This value adds to the progressive and permanent reduction that the company has executed during the last 5 years. This exercise is being done in all levels of the business group, which has allowed us to reach a consolidated reduction in terms of costs and expenses close to 520 billion Colombian pesos that add to the due date change of the investments that we have defined for 870 billion Colombian pesos. In these two efforts, we add 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos of resources, and if we add this to the bank credit disbursements that I have previously mentioned for more than 1 trillion Colombian pesos, this represents almost 2.5 trillion Colombian pesos that broaden our maneuver margin that we have within the situation. Going into the detail of each one of the businesses in terms of operations and finances, we could say that Odinsa has been impacted by the reduced measures, the restricted measures of reduced mobility of passengers. Authorities ordered the closure of El Dorado Airport the 23rd of March, enabling only cargo operation and humanistic flights. This asset is operating up to a 45% of its capacity in terms of cargo in order to support the supply of food, medicine, and raw materials. Seeking to maximize the liquidity of Opain, we have defined the investment, we have moved towards the future the investment plan for 65 billion Colombian pesos and a reduction in the expense operations for 46 billion Colombian pesos. In terms of maintaining a financial flexibility, we're executing operations to displace the service of debt in Colombian pesos using the credit spots we have in the concession in order to attend the needs of the cash flow in the case of this being necessary. Equally, we are advancing in conversations with the National Infrastructure Agency in order to review the payment of that agreement and possible adjustments to our contract given the current asset situation. We will be speaking further on about this. As you can see, we're working in all the fronts in order to guarantee the continuity and sustainability of the airport. We maintain an open conversation with the national government and with the Bogota mayor's office in order to determine the best way of reactivating the operations. We count with protocols, technologies, and biosecurity procedures in order to care the health of our users, collaborators, and all those that are part of the productive chain of El Dorado. From another side, the Mariscal Sucre Airport in Quito closed its operations for passengers since 17th of March, given the advancement of the virus in Ecuador and in direct coordination with the authorities of that country. As well as the Bogota Airport, the operation is limited to cargo and humanitarian flights, counting with all the measures, all the safety measures in order to guarantee a safe operation. At the beginning of the situation, the concession had a very solid petty cash position, close to $75 million. Besides, we need to remember that it doesn't have due dates for 2020, given to the optimization strategy in the capital structure that we carried out in 2019. These conditions allow Quiport to keep on complying with its contractual obligations under the actual context. At the same time, in order to mitigate the effects of this contingency, we are working on negotiations with the municipality of Quito in order to change the due dates of $60 million in terms of development investments. And we also carried out an efficiency plan that allows an optimization close to $8.5 million for the rest of 2020. In respect with the growth concessions, even though the particular impacts in revenues and cash flows are relevant, the majority of the road concession contracts have compensation mechanisms, risk compensation mechanisms, through mechanisms such as the minimum guaranteed revenue and the collection differentials, counteractual tools that mainly allow to ensure the cash flow of the projects in cases of events such as the one we're going through. In the case of Pacifico Dos, we should say that the exception that given the included exceptions, we under Decree 531, we're carrying out the constructive activities, necessary constructive activity, and we're close to a 40% of the operation. But in the upcoming weeks, we will come back to a higher level of operation. We want to reiterate our commitment with Colombia to deliver this work in Odinza and in all concessions. We have been working on a strict expense reduction and control program, close to 119 billion Colombian pesos, close to 235 billion Colombian pesos are being moved throughout the future, and we are also working on the investments close to 180 billion Colombian pesos. We also carried out a disbursement the last 7th of April for 117 billion Colombian pesos in order to ensure cash and capital and work capital. This allows us to have the necessary financial flexibility and liquidity in order to face the upcoming months. But our business, our cement business, we can say that it has been successfully operating in the United States and Haiti with all normality. I want to highlight the behavior of the business in the United States that today represents 57% of the organization, of the revenues of the organization. And where we keep seeing a very attractive backlog in the short term added to the federal supports that allow us to count with more ease. This becomes in the geography with best projections once this situation has been overcome, given the perspectives of economic reactivations and the investments of the government focused on infrastructure in order to dynamize the economy that's supported in aid packages and incentives that are under approval for more than $3 trillion. And a reduction of the interest rate from the Federal Reserve that will be between 0 and 0.25%. Despite the fact that the rest of the geographies were affected by the partial or total suspension of the operations, we have restarted activities in several territories of the Caribbean and Central America, where we're dispatching around 40% of the volumes compared with a normal month, an exception with Panama that still closed due to government restrictions. In Colombia, with the removal of the restrictive measures for infrastructure and for residential formal construction, commercial formal construction, we have observed recoveries of daily volumes of about 40% of a normal month. And during the first days of May, of around 55%. We have restarted the Cartagena and Rio Claro plants with the end of answering to this demand, and we keep restarting other plants. We will keep restarting other plants in the measure of, the measure that's required. We count with a very good expectation for what we have of the rest of the year in the country, bearing in mind that currently there's 29 contracted highways from which 22 are under execution. According to what has been announced by ANI, we're expecting that for the end of the year, 95% of these 4G concessions will be reactivated and under execution, which would allow the sector to come back to that high dynamism. Last number that we have is that 65% of those contracts are coming back to operations. In the financial aspect, we've ensured disbursements close to 400 billion Colombian pesos in order to strengthen our liquidity, supported by a capex reduction plan for 160 billion Colombian pesos for the current year, concentrating the investment only in those projects that are considered essential for the operation under the conditions of current markets. Likewise, we have been executing a cost and expense reduction plan for a total of 325 billion Colombian pesos in all our operations. It's also worth to mention the centralized control that we have developed for the cash management in order to guarantee an efficient use of liquidity under different market scenarios. These measures have given, as a result, a significant increase in the company's cash that reaches more than 600 billion Colombian pesos for the end of the first week of May. In Celsia, we continue with the generation, transmission, distribution, and commercialization operation, considering that this is an essential service. Because of this, our invoicing has not been affected, and up to date, we continue in normal conditions, bearing in mind the subsidies that have been established by the national government during this situation. From a financial perspective, shares have focused on reducing the needs, our cash needs for 350 billion Colombian pesos in terms of savings for the rest of 2020, in terms of the original budget, privileging the quality of the service rendering. Besides, treasury credits have been disbursed close to 500 billion Colombian pesos in order to guarantee a cash flow in the case of possible modifications in our work capital in the short term. Aligned with this, it's important to highlight that we count with approved credits both for local and international banks. Focused on strengthening our financial flexibility and maintaining an optimal capital structure, in Celsia, we have been leading a very successful ordinary bond emission for close to 200 billion Colombian pesos in order to roll over the bonds that were expiring in 2020, which eliminates the financial pressure for the payment of the debt in the next 2 years, given that its due date is in 2022. And besides that, this improved the financial costs in front of the previous bonds in close to 134 basis points. finally, our urban development business, we advanced in a call of 9 hectares in Puerto Colombia, and we received proposals for 1.7 times the offered area, which is equal to 126 billion Colombian pesos, supported by several of the largest constructors in the country. We're estimating to transfer this real estate through the year. In the past, these lands were focused on housing for social income strategies 5 and 6. Nevertheless, after the strategic analysis of the businesses, we reoriented the vocation of these lands for the construction of social interest housing. This allows us to count with a portfolio that's much more resilient, given that the demand of these types of units reaches 7.3 times the demand of housing of social income strategies 5 and 6 and its in Barranquilla and metropolitan area. The urban development business is focused on the structuring development of real estate portfolio of Grupo Argos. Because of this, 100% of our collaborators in this unit have been able to keep on working remotely. In addition, in terms of the situation, we have carried out a relevant effort with moving towards the future, certain investments, and a rigorous plan for expense and cost reduction that for this year reaches 20 billion Colombian pesos. In Pactia, our real estate rental business, preventive isolation has led to important implications, more specifically on commercial businesses and hotel businesses, which represent approximately 40% of the operational net income. Pactia is leading conversations and negotiations with rent owners in order to facilitate the conditions of the rental payment and alleviating our cash situation, granting supports of 7 billion Colombian pesos, which support those that are renting during this situation. In addition, a very important investment plan is being reviewed. Investment plan for 2020, as well as a complete reduction of the expense and cost structure that will allow to adapt the business to our new realities. As you can see, each one of the actions that our businesses have been leading are aligned and led from Grupo Argos and seek to ensure the liquidity in the short term through important CAPEX reductions, OPEX and DEPEX reductions too. But besides that, grant liquidity credits and due date changes for payments and negotiations, both with local and international banks. Philanthropy. Now I want to share with you management that we have been working on with as a business group in terms of solidarity. We're up to date. We have carried out volunteer contributions to different initiatives for more than 16 billion Colombian pesos, with donations for more than 13 billion Colombian pesos, which strengthen our health system, and close to 3 billion Colombian pesos for the support of the most vulnerable population that depends on informal labor, mainly supported on supports in terms of food. I also want to share with you that Grupo Argos and its companies have been leading a solidarity campaign called A Call to Empathy through Grupo Argos Foundation. This is an initiative that wants to collect resources in order to support informal workers. Up to date, this campaign has collected close to 700 million Colombian pesos, and Grupo Sura, Bancolombia, and Nutresa foundations will add to these efforts in order to benefit with food packages to more than 110,000 Colombian families. All this has led us to reflect upon the challenge that we have as a society, as a collective sense of the importance of coming back to essentials, and the importance of reconnecting with our personal and family values, and there be able to transform and to carry out economic and productive transformation processes in order to contribute to a fairer and more sustainable society. As relevant actors in our society, us companies have a very important role and responsibility in supporting our institutions. Today in Grupo Argos, we have leadership positions in several guilds and several think tanks where we collectively contribute with the authentic purpose of improving the collective sense in improving the public policy construction that will benefit the majority of the society. We recognize the importance of exercising this leadership. And with this scenario, with this types of situations, gain even more value in this types of situations we're going through. Now let me speak about the financial results. After talking about the advancements that we have had as a business group facing this current situation, with which we also confirm the capacity that we have to adapt in different dynamics, let me just proceed with a brief detail of the financial results for the first quarter. It's important to begin by mentioning that in this period, the businesses were partially affected, bearing in mind that the first confirmed case of COVID-19 in Colombia was discovered the 6th of March, and that the mandatory lockdown started the 25th of March. So, summarizing, March was a month that was highly affected by COVID-19. At a consolidated level, the group's revenues were 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos, 3% less than what we registered in the first quarter 2019. But looking at this in more detail, this confirmed the good things about the diversification. Despite the effects suffered by some of the businesses due to the social lockdowns, the consolidated contribution between cement, energy, concession businesses, and urban development business for this quarter adds 3.57 trillion Colombian pesos, having a positive variation of 58 billion Colombian pesos compared with the first quarter of 2019. The contribution to consolidated results during this quarter in the energy business was close to 925 billion Colombian pesos, contributing EBITDA close to 313 billion Colombian pesos at a consolidated level. Even though these are not comparable with the same period 2019, and bearing in mind the operation of Tolima Distribution, which does not consolidate the generation of Termoflores, this result demonstrates the stability in the base of assets that the company was able to consolidate in 2019. By its part, Cementos Argos, which has a larger geographic diversification, has been able to proceed with its United States operations. Today, this operation counts with a strong currency, which has allowed us to compensate in a certain way the impact of COVID-19 over the rest of the regions, which have had more operational difficulties. In Colombia, we evidenced an affectation in the month of March, given the lockdown decreed by the government. And despite the activity reduction, I want to highlight that our EBITDA for this region shows a positive variation of 15%. Central American operations were also affected by these measures, and economic activities were also closed, which led to impacts that came even from weeks before. This led to a revenue contribution of 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos and an EBITDA of 345 billion Colombian pesos that are sensibly similar to the ones that we had on the previous year that didn't have any effects due to COVID-19. The contribution of the concession business, including airport concessions, was of 435 billion Colombian pesos, with a very negative variation of 4% in order to the main effect given to the lower activity in construction and a particular expense in Pacifico 2 that does not represent cash irrigations, and it's also supported by future revenues that are expressed in US dollars. Equally, we keep on seeing the effect of a larger leveraging aligned with the capital structure optimization strategy that was led during 2019 in the airport assets that's translated into a lower contribution to the participation method, which allowed to work on important flows, dividend flows, towards its shareholders. Passenger traffic begins to affect our numbers due to the airport closures, with a reduction of 8% in the quarter impacted by the results of these concessions. By its part, the urban development business registered a cash flow that was 48% higher than the same period last year, which is explained by the activation of a part of clauses or bylaws in the previous contracts, given that there was a higher usage in terms of norms and commercial usage than what we had initially agreed upon. Those revenues are also reflected in the P&L, where we could see an increase of 5% compared with last year. The previous reflects the capacity that the business have in innovating in the way that we carry out transactions, adapting itself to the needs of the customer, and maximizing in time the value for Grupo Argos. Impactia, gross effective revenue was 86 billion Colombian pesos, growing 26% year after year, while the operational net revenue was 57 billion Colombian pesos, growing 62%. The EBITDA was 41 billion Colombian pesos, with an increase of 99% year after year. These extraordinary increases in terms of net operational revenue and EBITDA are a result of a change that we had in our accounting before our taxes. Before we were paying in January, now it has been divided into installments, 12 installments through the years. Including this, the operational increase year after year was 26% in terms of EBITDA, that was a 33% increase. In terms of costs and expenses for all of the businesses of the group, we saw that for the quarter there were reductions in terms of structural expenses. We're the only one that shows a positive variation is Cesia, that is explained by the incorporation of the Tolima assets. That's clearly much more intensive in labor than what we had in the free trade zone plant in Barranquilla for Cesia. It's also worth highlighting that despite the devaluation of our currency in 13% in these two periods, many of the expenses of our branches are done in US dollars or have an origin in currencies that are tied to the US dollars. And it's even more relevant that even with that increase, we didn't have increases in the consolidated level in terms of expenses. And in the contrary, we were able to have a reduction, as we could see in the graph that you have in front, of a 1% in order to totalize 439 billion Colombian pesos. The largest impact of the results in the first quarter came clearly from the portfolio investments for financial services, which are registered in our case through participation method, where there's an affectation with a lower contribution to the EBITDA revenue level, close to 160 billion Colombian pesos, mainly created by the revenues coming from Grupo Sura, created by the volatility of the market and to the exchange rate that we had had in the last couple of weeks. This result has accounting implications, but nevertheless doesn't represent cash allocations. Consolidated EBITDA closed in 819 billion Colombian pesos, the same that we see in the revenue line. We could see how the contribution of the strategic businesses was kept relatively stable, with a consolidated contribution of 842 billion Colombian pesos, with a positive variation of 8 billion Colombian pesos in respect with the previous year. And despite the already mentioned effects of COVID-19. In terms of financial expense, we want to highlight that despite a higher indebtedness at consolidated level, it was a variation of 2.5 billion Colombian pesos, mainly explained by the currency variation, which explains almost all the variation, close to 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos. Market risk management policy and natural coverage strategies reflect the stability presented by the financial expense for the first quarter that's kept stable, as you can see in the right side of the graph. Number close to 300 billion Colombian pesos. We also want to highlight the increase in the structural indebtedness that for this quarter is 337 billion Colombian pesos, which responds in an anticipated manner to the disbursements carried out in all the branches in order to ensure the liquidity position through the period, as it was previously mentioned. A lower contribution through a participation method of our financial investments affected all of the lines of our state of results, close to 160 billion Colombian pesos, which derived in a net profit of 26 billion Colombian pesos and a net loss for the controller of 32 billion Colombian pesos, excluding the impact of a lower contribution of the participation method. Net profit of the controller, which is reduced to 14% and had closed in 123 billion Colombian pesos. In this situation, the value generation coming from companies depends on the capacity of keep executing the business plans they have for and on the vision and strength to face the long term. In that sense, the cash availability becomes a fundamental tool. That's why I want to invite you all to check slide number 18, which presents the cash state of Grupo Argos in a separate level for the end of the quarter. In total, we closed with 115 billion Colombian pesos, something that will sound atypical. But in the last results, this company has kept, as we have defined as policy, a minimum cash, which allows us to ensure the operation for the rest of the year. The strong liquidity position that we reached under this context, done in an opportunistic manner, offers a very good resilience to our organization and reflects besides the trust to that the local and international bank has towards us, as well as those different institutional players that are part of all this. Today, Grupo Argos keeps our AAA rating and AAA rating by Fitch Ratings and AAA minus by Standard & Poor's. It's also important to highlight the advancements that the group has achieved in terms of strategic portfolio confirmation focused on infrastructure. Today allows us to be more resilient and can count with several advantages. First would be the business diversification and the market diversification sectors. Currency exposure, which allows us to mitigate the exposure to one currency geography. Second is being able to act in a coordinated manner with the strength that we have as a business group that is cohesion, uniform, and that has a unified vision in terms of strategy, in terms of long-term vision. Third, being in one of the sectors that have been invited to reactivate as fast as it can. In this situation, is more important than ever, the role that Grupo Argos plays. This is not the first crisis that we face as an organization in our close to 90 years of history, where we have learned that in challenging moments request a fast response, articulate response, but more specifically, consistent with the vision of a responsible operation with an aware investment that differentiates us in the long term, a cross-cutting management that we have carried out, built and constructed to lead all these businesses, strengthens us as a resilient organization and with the virtues of identifying and using in our favor the opportunities that these challenges come with, but always being loyal to the environmental, social, and government and corporate government criteria that will orientate our core. Without no doubt, even though we're going through a moment of uncertainty, where visibility is precocious, but we believe in our capacities, in the talent that supports this organization, and reorientating our crisis committee, ensuring our livelihood, being sure that we could lead this fast reactivation process. Before ending this part and starting the Q&A session, I wanted to keep being optimistic, to see this crisis as a source of opportunity, thinking on a common well-being and trusting our institutions, trusting our country, and trusting our people. We will come out stronger of all this. I want to greet you all, hoping that you all are safe, both you and your families. And with this, let me give the word to Natalia in order to answer the Q&A sessions that you might have. So thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jorge. Let us open now the space for Q&A. In the bottom part, you'll find an icon that says Q&A. Through this area, you could ask questions. I will be moderating the questions. So let's begin. Here we have a question from Juan Pablo Diaz from Porvenir. What strategies the group has to strengthen or to face a negative scenario of liquidity for San Marcos, bearing in mind the leveraging indicator that we have in terms of the risk rating company? Well, thank you, Juan Pablo. Thank you for your question. I would say the following thing. In Cementos, we have been working in both ways under the following train of thought. First, we have the optimization of structural cash generation for the business. And in here, I want to emphasize that we have been decisively working in certain aspects. First is the maximization of the income through innovation strategies and through a revenue management optimization for the company in different countries and in different operations that the company has. Second is it's an articulated strategy, optimizing the size and the cost of the organization, where we've been acting in different areas. Last year, we reduced this in 80%. In real terms, this year, we're close to a 14%. And we are still executing certain operations. So this is starting to give very important fruits. Month of April, we had a very positive result coming from the United States market with an EBITDA higher than what we had budgeted under conditions that are positive, and not just from a guild point of view, because as we mentioned, we have certain problems, certain market situation, but in the cost expense reduction, which impact the EBITDA. But further than the P&L, we have been also working on cash use, the optimization of the financial cycle has been positively evolving. In the past, this cycle was close to 45 days. Right now, we're speaking of 35 days, with an optimization of work capital of 230 billion Colombian pesos at the beginning of the year, to optimizations close to 80 billion Colombian pesos. This is product of a very conscious exercise of centralizing cash and optimizing our cash. So from an operational optics, we have been working on the fact that our fundamental generation is strong enough in order to attend the debt and reduce the total liabilities that we have in the organization. If you remember last year, the company reduced a liability close to 450 billion Colombian pesos. In the last 3 years, it has been done around close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos. counting with resources of our own operations, despite competitive dynamics that we could see in different areas. That strategy proceeds, and it's a fundamental basis that we have in terms of structural resources in order to reduce pressure in terms of debt. Second, as it was mentioned before, there's some actions, some liquidity actions that allow the company to have a very reasonable liquidity position in order to attend the crisis that we are going through. Third point is the possibility, the disinvestment of non-strategic assets. And there, we would have to do an observation that the balance of Cementos Argos has non-strategic assets, different types of real estate, investment, or even operational, that are in places where eventually we could look for this investment. Clearly, we have already executed the disinvestment of the paper manufacturers, Odempa and Papelsa, Colombates also. Colombates was also a manufacturing company in that sense. And we did the Omnia Colombia disinvestment. It's a calcium carbonate producer for the cement business. And we are looking at the possibility of this investment. They are disinvesting three real estate assets, two in Colombia and two outside Colombia. But in addition, as it has been previously announced, there's a process where we disinvest certain assets, some concrete assets, similar to what we did in the first quarter last year in the United States. The dynamic of these processes obviously will be affected in this moment due to the pandemic. But I am optimistic that through the year, the measure that we have a higher visibility, those disinvestments that have been thought can be carried out. Let's remember that our non-strategic disinvestment plan is around $700 million, and the total debt that we have for cement is around $1.8 million. So, $18 billion, sorry. So we feel that we have operational leverages that are improving the cash availability and allowing to alleviate the pressure in the cash flow, even, as I said, to reduce the leveraging, the liquidity position. It's very comfortable for the moment of the crisis, an operation that, despite the effects, has been showing during April and May important recoveries, not just in terms of volumes, but also in terms of prices in Colombia. And in addition, we proceed in those disinvestments of non-strategic assets. I would say that in general, the company has a toolbox that's broad enough that gives us the possibility of adding different types of initiatives in order to mitigate the impact over indebtedness. Obviously, our priority and the management priority is precisely that, is caring for the cash flow, is accelerating this investment processes. But I would say that given the current perspectives in terms of cash flow optimization, in terms of operations, we see a strategy that clearly maintains a long-term liquidity for the company. Now, speaking about the road concession business and questions around this, there's a question that says, is there an estimate of the impact of the revenue due to the current situation? And let me link this. How has the restart of Pacifico Dos, and how was the impact of stopping the works during the lockdown? Okay, let me give the word to Mauricio. He's with us today. I just wanted to emphasize on something, Mauricio. And that is that it is very important to understand two things. So the first one, obviously, there's in the toll collection have been affected due to the regulation established by the national government. Some tolls are not being charged, and almost the majority of the tolls are not being charged right now. And this is a temporal disruption because this is being applied today, but we hope that this changes in the future. But the concession contracts, the nature of the road concession contracts have traffic risk mitigation methods. It could be because of the minimum guaranteed revenue or differential, where we compare the contracted revenue versus contracted and planned revenue versus the executed. And we should recognize these differentials in money or where there's different types of mechanisms in terms of the times within the concession. So the equity value is protected by this characteristic. So I just wanted to emphasize on this, and Mauricio, the floor is yours. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Greetings for all, and those that are part of this call. I want to also repeat a little bit. I wanted to give a bit of a general context in, before answering this particular question, because I could see that there's questions around the roads. Let me start by something simple. You know that we have a contract that's called Malla Vial del Meta. It's currently suspended, and it has... It's facing two possibilities for its solution: be September, or we finish the contract beforehand, or we reduce its scope in order for it to proceed. It doesn't have no investment commitment, nor debts, nor nothing. I say this because this contract is not part of what I'll be saying from now on in terms of general concessions. Obviously, the strongest force is in the concession contract. And it's seen or thought in different ways, depending on the generation that that contract has, if it's the first, second, or third, or fourth G. And these concessions contemplate at least three groups of affectations: overcosts, not complying with the counter-actual times, and the revenue. Those three types of affectations are within the contract, meaning by this, there's no space for controversies. Two, they are part of all the norm that has aroused from this situation. And it's also thought that counteractual mechanisms will be used for its mitigation. And it's also thought that this will be a time exemption with no time limit in order to mitigate wherever there is an important damage. This, particularly for us, means that the totality of the revenue that has not been perceived in Autopista de Café for April, and we hope that this ends in May, and a small fraction will be restituted completely within the contract. This means that delays that we have estimated for more than 2 months for ending Pacifico 2, that actually, as Jorge mentioned initially, we are up to a 40% and we have been advancing. In the next week will be 74%, and for the end of the month will be 100% of the work reactivation, and we'll probably be finishing for December. And the non-perceived revenue will be compensated or through the minimum guaranteed revenues or through the collection differentials or through the expected revenue, as we were explaining before. So it's clear that there has been an affectation. I want to clarify that this is included within the mitigations that the contract bear in mind, and that the conversations to seek and formalize these mitigations are on their way. We hope having this solved in the upcoming months. Obviously, that in order to support this situation, we estimate now April and May, we have taken all the necessary measures that have been previously explained by Jorge Mario, in terms of going to each one of the contracts, doing an exhaustive review of their OPEX, CAPEX, expenses, and operations in order to adjust ourselves in order for the assets to be self-sustainable in terms of operational cash, not requiring resources from our part, for them to have a way of keeping the contract active under the current conditions that we need to keep, in order to avoid tensions in terms of liquidity. I wanted to just specify a couple of information, if you allow me, Jorge. We also have Pablo. Maybe Pablo can tell us a little bit about this, now that we're speaking of Pacifico 2 and Autopista del Café in financial terms. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mauricio. Well, let's just answer a little bit about this. With what Mauricio previously mentioned, I believe it's clear, and I'll reiterate. In terms of road concessions, the only revenue that we would have jeopardized is the excess in the minimum revenue, minimum guaranteed revenue that we have in Autopista del Café. The worst case scenario last year, 2019, was 30 billion Colombian pesos that we divided into the same equal parts. So we could say that if the traffic scenario for 2020 recovery is as negative, that we're not able even to collect the minimum required revenue, we would be saying that for Autopista del Café, we'll be losing 15 billion Colombian pesos in terms of collections compared with 2019. Now, we believe that in the concrete case of Autopista del Café, once the traffic constraints are removed and once the tolls start charging again, at the end of the year, we can have the same collection or even higher than the minimum required revenue. So those 15 billion, billion Colombian pesos would be the most negative case that we could expect. As Mauricio and Jorge Mario said, in the rest of the road concessions, we have mechanisms that allow, in a certain way, to compensate that revenue. For example, in the Túnel de Oriente, the collection that's not collected during this 2020, we will have more concessionaires to collect in the upcoming years. In the case of the Dominican Republic, the collection has always been under the minimum required revenue, so there wouldn't be any losses there. In the case of Aruba, there is no collection because payment by availability. So that would be the answer in terms of the impact of revenues in road concessions, product of this specific situation. Pacifico 2, and coming back to the activities, maybe Mauricio would be the right person to answer this.
Yes, thank you, Pablo.
An additional comment. As you know, certain sectors have started coming back this week, coming back to a gradual normality following a series of protocols. This has been clearly important for the roads. Let me insist, there's no charges for the moment because the vehicles have been reduced and the charge has been removed. We hope that these collections come back. But the traffic movement during this week changed drastically. Up till today, almost all the roads are between 65 and 70% of their normal traffic. So this means that at the end of the month, probably we'll be close to a 75% of our habitual traffic, which shows the quality of the assets, or at least of the road footprint that we have. In the case of Pacifico, we have 1,500 people working. We have 30 work fronts. Six fronts are back to work. Around 602 people are working. We prioritized, obviously, the access to compliance of all the protocols. It's just something that's fundamental, that has a daily field verification, and it's fully documented to ANI. This happens at all the works, but mainly in the main one that's specific for those that has the largest concentration. As I mentioned before, we should be close to 100% for the end of the month. We were allowed to open a couple of more fronts this week, and obviously following the biosecurity protocols, biosafety protocols. Second was the opening those works that we needed to start working on fastly in order to not inquire technical risks that had started before. This is fully controlled now. And third element was agreeing with ANI the extension of a date that we had for the 30th of October. We moved it to December so we could mitigate that small delay that we had due to the suspension. And this has been granted already. So the project is advancing. The money to execute this work come from equity disbursements coming from the financial sector, given the credits that have been hired or contracted. This has been from the financial sector. The disbursements have already happened, and also from Odensa, according to what we had previously thought, and according to the figures that Jorge and Mario have previously mentioned in terms of cash. So we do feel easy in terms of that we are advancing in the work, and we should have a short delay, but has already been approved by the entity that grants the contracts within times. Well, thank you, Mauricio. So let me propose for us to move on. I see that there's several questions on the list. Yes, we have several questions. What I'm doing right now is trying to compile those questions. I'll try to just ask the airport questions. Okay, just we'll try to answer them all in the measure that time allows us, because there's some that are have lots of detail. What I propose is that all the questions will be on written form, and we can also answer them in written form if we're not able to answer them all. But let's try to do this exercise. Let's try to group the questions for those that have to do with airports, so we could try to answer those related with airports, and that way we could move on in an organized manner. Okay, in airports, we have several questions. They want to know about the cash level that we have and the debt level that Key Port and Opine has, which is the liquidity position that these assets have, and what's the expiry profile, cash cost, and the revenues that we have been expecting, which are the impacts in the leveraging indicators. They also ask if a capitalization would be required for the airports, and more specifically, in the case of Opine, what's the Avianca exposition if the accounts receivable are susceptible to be provisioned in 2020. I believe that this summarizes airports. The other thing is in respect with CAPEX, which are the investments that 65 billion investments that we are forcing. But just let me give you a bit of context. I believe it's important, and there's other questions there, very specific questions, that maybe Pablo can help us answering. What would be the position in terms of cash cost? We'll just mention some of the elements. First thing, as we mentioned before, the affectation over the airports is important. The reduction in the traffic that we had during April and May, we hope that we'll be close to 100% of the traffic, passenger traffic, commercial traffic, both national and international. And as I mentioned before, the airport is operating up to 45% in terms of cargo. And this is the operation that's working right now in the El Dorado Airport, as well as in Key Port. It's also very important, conceptually speaking, to understand the nature of the concessionary business. Because the concessionary business, like in the country we have at 65%, is a contract held with the Colombian government, or in the case of Key Port, with the Quito municipality, which grants some rights and duties also for those that hold the concession. In this case, there's an affectation, or a total affectation, in virtue to a decision that had been taken by the Colombian national government of suspending air traffic. So further than the reasons that lead to all this, and further than the logic behind the collective health of Colombians, from a counteractual situation that we have an open conversation, and we will have to drill deeper even with the grantors in order to establish or re-establish the counteractual equilibrium that's derived from a stronger force or a non-voluntary interruption. What I want to say with this is that there's counteractual elements where we protect the investors in both contracts, and there's an awareness from the other party also, and we'll have to look for the mitigation measures that these types of decisions come with. Just to say, when a lateral decision is, so there's a higher affectation
And I'll give the word to Pablo so he could tell a little bit more about the numbers. But in any case, and similar to what I just mentioned in terms of roads, there's a conversation that is open in order to establish, led by OPAE, or then some. In order to reestablish the terms. So I just wanted to specify on this. And let me just take this other question, and then I'll give the word to Pablo and to Mauricio. This has to do with the CAPEX, because I see that there's several questions around CAPEX. What we have done mainly in terms of the ordinance of airport vertical is suspending investments, in both for CAPEX and DEPEX, and an operational expense for development in private expansion initiatives like brownfields in the airports. This happens due to the airport expansion in Bogota, to the engineering studies, to traffic studies, environmental studies, pre-feasibility, also for Cartagena as well as for Bogota. And as it was also mentioned before, this is being spoken with a grantor in Ecuador in order to reach $60 million that have been accepted already. So what we have is a focus right now in preserving CAPEX and reaching cash equilibrium and asset value. Mauricio, floor is yours. Yes, Jorge, thank you. I think that you have been very clear. Stronger Force is in both contracts. This speaks specifically of losses that are not received in cases of Stronger Forces. The CAPEX measurement reduction and OPEX reductions are transitory in order to avoid a stronger cash effort that, given the reduction of the revenues, as it has been mentioned before, CAPEX was associated to a master plan that had to be a development, but it has been approved to stop this CAPEX up to new order, opine CAPEX, or based on 100% of the CAPEX. There's a remnant CAPEX to be executed, 100% of the CAPEX, has also to do with works that we have been doing. We had a saturation exposition in the airport. The airport traffic up to 12th of May was growing 10% compared with last year. That had grown also at 10%. So in virtue of that stress that the airport was going through, obviously there is an airport plan that has been suspended because not required in this moment, and probably the recovery of the traffic will be slower. So there won't be attention over capacity. So I believe the first message is clear. There's some mechanisms in the contracts. They're in process of becoming active. The grantors are aware of the implications this has, and we will be in the upcoming weeks or upcoming months having this discussion in order for mitigating this impact. I wanted to give the word to Pablo so he could speak about some numbers, and if I can come back afterwards, Jorge, just a bit of the vision that we have towards the airport. Why don't we speak about Avianca? I believe this is important.
Well, perfect, yeah. Our vision with Avianca, so we can answer the question and then the vision that we have around this. Right now, we have accounts receivable close to 21 billion Colombian pesos from those outstanding loans. 18 billion are those air rates collected by Avianca. This is the money that comes from the concession contract. There's this mandate with all the airlines that within the sale of the ticket, they collect this rate, and at the end of the month, they reversed this money. During May, this has not happened yet because it was when the suspension began. Just remember, 6th of May, we have the first COVID patient. 17th of May, we have the emergency declared. 31st of March, last a plane comes into Colombia, and the 31st of March, the last plane leaves Colombia, last commercial plane leaves Colombia. So this that has to do with fees and taxes has a different handling in the process that Avianca is following, and this money has to be reversed the 11th of July. So for the 11th of July, the company needs to have paid all this for them to start operating now. If it would be the case, we have money for the back office rentals. This will become in the category of priority grantors, and they have to be. They cannot have any debts in order for them to start operating. We have no exposition. We are expecting to collect this money in the upcoming weeks. It's not something that has been expired. It's simply just last month money that has been with problems due to the close. But what happens in June after everything comes back to normal? In our opinion, Avianca will be a company that will be operationally strengthened to be a solid offer. In terms of airports, we need for the demand to have the appetite, and for the demand to have the appetite of traveling, both business traveling, touristic traveling, but we also need to have a strong supply. And this decision makes Avianca operating better conditions. They have to pay cash for the services that they'll be using from the airport, and they start enriching the supply that together with other airlines that have proven to have appetite to keep on working on the business are asking. So we have no exposition, and we see as positive the flexibility that Avianca will have for them to be a relevant player in this travel supply. Okay, Pablo will speak about cash and debt. Yes, Opaín has $415 million in debt, and in pesos, 315 billion Colombian pesos. All these indebtments are profiled according to the concession projections. All of them being paid in 2026. That'll be the end of the payment. Is the contract, given that the contract ends in 2027, in non-constrained cash, meaning by this cash that could be used by Opaín for its operation without requesting any grantor or any entity, they have 130 billion Colombian pesos. In addition, it has in reserves as collaterals for those indebtments that I mentioned. In dollars, it has $32 million, and in pesos, 30 billion Colombian pesos. That could that are additional cash that could be used for honoring the debt. So in terms of non-constrained cash, we have 130 billion Colombian pesos, and reserve cash, we have $32 million and 30 billion Colombian pesos respectively. Keyport has an indebtedness of $400 million that expires in 2036, and the concession expires in 2041. The amortization profile for those $400 million is according to the cash flows that the asset will generate. So obviously, the majority of the capital is it's amortized the first years, not the last years. In terms of cash, Keyport has its non-constrained cash, $78 million, and besides that, it has $75 million in reserves. I believe that summarizes the cash position. Now, it was also asked about the cash flow measures, monthly cash flow measures for Opaín in concrete. Opaín, in normal month operations, would reach revenues between 90 and 100 billion Colombian pesos. And Opaín today, with the current situation and with decisions that have been made, in terms of operations, they could spend 15 billion Colombian pesos, 15 billion monthly Colombian pesos in operations. This is obviously before paying interest and amortizing debt and paying its debts with the nation. And in concrete, in 2020, from the debts I was mentioning that Opine had, Opine should amortize 200 billion Colombian pesos for the rest of 2020, and in 2021 would be about 250 billion Colombian pesos. So what's been done? With what we're doing, both in dollars and pesos, is speaking the possibility of moving these amortizations that I mentioned from 2020 to 2021 and further on for us to react upon the situation. If the invoicing doesn't come back to the levels we previously mentioned, once constraints are removed, once the mobility constraints are removed, I believe this would be the summary of the information that was being asked. If I left something outside, just let me know. Well, let me do a proposal. You know, there are so many questions, and some are partially answered or not. Let's go back to the questions, Alejandro, and those that we don't answer, we'll answer via written form, and we could just leave them open. If there's any detail of something that has been left outside or something that has not been fully answered, you'll be able to access to this information that's required. Okay, upcoming topic. Okay, so let me move on to Pakia. They're asking, what has been the drop in collections product of this situation, particularly in April and May? If we expect the deterioration of the unit value, and what percentage of occupation do we have? Let me give the word to Alejandro Piedraita for him to answer the questions. It's important to speak about the graph that we have in the last slide or one before last slide. Not just about the revenue, but about the area of the construction of those 427,000 square meters. How is this distributed in between commercial and stores, offices, industrial use, and other uses? This is important for us to understand the dynamic of where the applications are coming from back here. Well, thank you, Jorge. I'd like to start giving you some numbers in terms of what were the PACTIA results in March, both for the revenue plan and the real executed plan in terms of EBITDA, and a little bit about what we're seeing, not just in March and April, but a little bit about what we're seeing in terms of the information we have right now. The revenue plan for March that we had for PACTIA was close to 90 billion Colombian pesos. And finally, that result closed to 85 billion Colombian pesos, where mainly the delta is explained mainly by the hotel business. Hotel business has a reduction close to 3.7 billion Colombian pesos. But this is revenue-wise. In terms of the EBITDA close to, we had as a plan 36 billion Colombian pesos and closed in 41 billion Colombian pesos. There was an over-execution close to 110%. And basically, in terms of adjustment or in terms of reduction, revenue reduction that's mainly explained by hotels, we basically were able to reach the adjustment in terms of asset maintenance, a reduction of 2 billion Colombian pesos, and also the expenses from the capital fund close to 3.6 billion Colombian pesos. So in terms of the first quarter, PACTIA had a positive effect on EBITDA. When you look at the information in May and April, if we look this towards the future, the projections that we have been carrying out with the PACTIA team is that probably the revenues could be close to 25% drop. And that 25% we keep seeing mainly in the hotel business, what the Bakke administration has been doing and what many have been doing is use adjustments in terms of hotels, for example. There are certain zones where there's engineers coming from abroad, for example, in the oil business, and then you have to go into quarantine, and they have to be going to the hotels, receiving these technicians, and that those quarantines could be also used with the hotels in order for the drop not to be as aggressive. The other important aspect has to do with shopping malls. In shopping malls, during March and April, we've seen an affectation higher than 25% that I was mentioning before. Obviously, what we're trying to do with many of these, for those that had to have closes, because those that had operations that were still open in a certain way, well, the rental continues. But in terms of retail, for example, apparel, what we've done with them is a renegotiation, a rental renegotiation, and being able to defer many of those payments towards the future in terms of financing in order to have that flexibility. But if we look at the numbers, we're speaking of reductions close to 25%. Let me move on to questions related with Grupo Argos. This has to do with the cash flow. We estimated revenues close to 900 billion Colombian pesos. Has this changed? If those 115 Colombian pesos that we, billion Colombian pesos that we closed with first quarter 2020 are not covering dividends, are not enough to cover dividends, could this affect the dividends that we receive? And what do we have? And the other one is related with the repurchase of shares, considering current prices, and how are we seeing this repurchase that we announced before? Okay, let me introduce the question, and maybe Alejandro, we could speak about detail. Yes, I do have that detail holding. Okay, so let's make two comments related with the two questions. Clearly, there's a modification to what we budgeted initially and to what we have today projected, such as the cash forecast. The important difference between both is that we are not considering revenues due to asset disinvestments at a Grupo Argos level. As we have previously announced also, we're looking for the possibility of having, in a certain moment, some assets that we could disinvest in order to invite strategic business partners. In this scenario, despite that this could happen in the future, we're eliminating from the cash flow any effect that comes from disinvestments. And being like this, and afterwards I give the word to Alejandro with the exact numbers, we keep having a primary superavit between the dividends received by the company versus the ones that are being paid. That's a very important strength. Leveraged in two or three elements. First, it's a systematic and permanent reduction in the expense level of the holding. It was mentioned before, in the last 5 years, we've reduced 6% of the expense level of the holding structure. In our first revision that we just did, we're reducing 14% more of our current expense level. This would be close to 20 billion Colombian pesos. Second important source of revenue are those coming from the urban development business. That, as it was read for, and maybe we could give the word to Maria Clara further on, the vision that we're having for the demand that we were mentioning for the new usages of some lots in Barranquilla is even positive compared with what we had forecasted. So what we're expecting as cash revenue, which is very important in the urban development business, is even the same or even higher than what we had initially. So with this scenario, in general terms, I would say that cash has a bit less of a superabit than we had thought initially, but it's still being a superabit, which allows us to have a primary superabit between what we received and paid. That's also supported in the real estate business and the cost reduction. Let me give the word to Alejandro so we can go into details. Now, dividends. That's the source of income of a great part of that flow. So the first consideration, I would say, dividends for 2020 were decreed by the assembly, and they will be distributed according to what each of the assemblies decreed. It's also worth mentioning that Cementos Argus and Odensa are charged at the end of the year, where there's still enough time to have a better visibility of the effects or government compensations or about the pandemic. But structurally, these have been decreed, and in cash, they have been moved towards the end of the year. We could stop here, and let me give the word to Alejandro, and we could speak about the numbers and then move on to the second question. Yes, about the point you were mentioning, we had announced a source of around 900 billion Colombian pesos with those adjustments that we have done. Sources will be in 728 billion Colombian pesos. From those 728 billion Colombian pesos, 407 billion are dividends, and remember that we paid dividends this year for 317 billion Colombian pesos. So here we basically have a differential close to 100 billion Colombian pesos. But from those, there's around 106 billion Colombian pesos that come from the urban development business. There are the revenues that are close to 63 billion Colombian pesos. This has to do with this investment that has been done, with the investments related with Cartón de Colombia and Colombates. These are 63 billion plus other disinvestments and other topics related with our investments. And there's an additional credit source of 150 billion Colombian pesos. So this gives us 728 billion Colombian pesos. When we look at the usages, the uses are 641 billion Colombian pesos. So we've done adjustments in both sides. There's a dividend payment that's constant, 317 billion Colombian pesos, and there's some financial expenses that are close to 125 billion Colombian pesos. Taxes for 75 billion. Expenses, as it was mentioned by Jorge, they have a reduction close to 65 billion Colombian pesos. Urban development expense close to 59 billion Colombian pesos. That also has a reduction. So as you can see, this is super avid when you look at sources and usages, close to 87 billion Colombian pesos, and this has to do with cash excess. And if you remember, Grupo Argos usually has cash excesses close to 1.5 billion Colombian pesos. In this case, we have an excess of 87 billion Colombian pesos that's aligned with the shock plan that we have and with the strategy of the liquidity excesses of all the companies that Jorge mentioned at the beginning of this call. So this excess of 87 billion also gives us some flexibility in the case of something happening. Okay, let me take the first part of the first question, repurchase of shares. Let me come back to what was mentioned in the assembly. What we approved was a blueprint that would allow the board to, depending on the conditions and depending on the quality and the conditions of liquidity, could establish a reacquisition program up to a certain number to be executed, 400 billion Colombian pesos, if I'm not wrong, in a period of 3 years. The concrete answer to this concrete question, if this is regulated right now, it is not regulated yet. If we have thought of doing this in the short term, the concrete answer is no. We're not there bearing this in mind for the short term. And the question is that in case of an emergency situation of what's happening right now in coronavirus around the world, the priority has been focalized in keeping the liquidity and the mechanisms in order to guarantee the continuity of the different companies. So the program is authorized, is applicable, but the board has not considered it yet, and for the moment it is not a priority within our agenda.
Okay, so I'll close with a last question. It corresponds more towards that role as the holding role, and how has this been led during the situation? If there's a possibility of even reducing more capex than what we have announced? Well, it's a very good question, and the concrete answer is yes. But in an exercise that we're doing with the companies, the capex reduction, we have to be careful, and that is that you cannot fiddle with capex that's sensible for the continuity of the business, or for the efficiency of the business, or for the safety in the business operation. So this means that I shouldn't cut all the capex because I'm deteriorating the condition of the operation. What is reasonable is to optimize in terms of the optional capex, that one that has to do with development and future growth, where there's no visibility for the moment, could be stopped. That's what we have done already. Second part of the work that we're doing right now, such as cement, Odinsa, and airports, in the energy business, that's even operating over expected, is going into the granularity and the detail to ensure that we can keep that capex necessary for the operation to be efficient, and we prioritize the capex in order of return. So we're focusing on those that give us a larger return, that capex. So there is a second round. It's being studied. In the cement business, we have seen some alternatives that are being fine-tuned, and Mauricio and his team are working also likewise in the other businesses. So this is first number. That is that between capex and opex and debex, there's 1.5 and premium Colombian pesos, but have a second one that's being studied right now. I guess that with this, we try to answer almost all the questions. We have the task of answering all these questions in written form and uploading them to our webpage so you can find them afterwards. So let me give you the word, Jorge Mario, for the closure. And so thank you all. Thank you very much to every single one of you. It's a pleasure being with you all, your questions, the depth of your questions. I hope that we could have answered in detail the majority of the questions. And those that we couldn't, we want to answer them further on in written form. And as you might know, the communication channel is always open with any of us, Natalia, Alejandro, Diego, anyone. And we're more than open to answer these questions. I would close by saying that clearly we're going through a challenging moment for humanity, for the businesses, but also let you know that we have the structure, we have the talent, we have the capacity of driving towards the front, and when an organization has this capacity, this conviction, and the assets and the strengths that we have developed for decades and decades, since 1934, we started building what we have today. It's a very important foundation, a very important lever for us to find paths, for us to strengthen, and why not, finding opportunities in situations such as this. And so I want to thank you all for being with us.
And I hope that you and your families are well and will be more than open for the questions that you might have. So have a nice day.